The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into a brand new podcast on the Tony Curry Radio Network. And that is the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects, founded in 1991 with yours truly and my co-host, Liz Greenwald, a.k.a. Liz DeMoisey, when I first met her way back in 1991. How you doing, Liz?
We're doing good. We're happy to be here.
Yes. So Liz and I have been friends since 1991, and we were like, we should do a podcast together. We know what we're talking about. And so we actually have we've been working on this for about a week. Have a mission statement. Do you want to read the mission statement or do you want me to? All right. The Gifted and Talented Education Rejects is a podcast for the brilliant, the burned out, and the bizarre. Hosted by two former prodigies turned creative misfits, Liz and David dive into the strange aftermath of being the smart kids who didn't follow the plan. From gifted kid trauma and millennial burnout to pop culture dissection and creative reinvention, they explore what happens when intellect collides with emotion and what's possible when you build a life outside the system. Funny, raw, and deeply specific, this show is for the ones who qualified but were never picked. It's not too late. Grab your stickers, your spiral notebooks. We're starting over on our terms. So there we go. That is all Liz. I will say, Liz, I gave her a couple of ideas and she ran with it. She is really good at getting all this stuff together. She is an organizer. I kind of fly by the seat of my pants a lot of times. I've noticed with my podcasting duties, though, I've got to be more organized. So this will be right in Liz's wheelhouse. So Liz, how did we meet, and what's our origin story? What's our villain origin story?
Oh boy. So we did meet in third grade in Mrs. Phillips' class at Reedy Creek Elementary School. And I remember walking into class, and I was always the tallest kid in class. And I walked in and there was another tall person, which made me very excited because that meant that when we did square dancing, I wasn't going to have to do the boy parts. Because, you know, back in the 90s, we had square dancing.
We did.
And that was like a pretty big deal. That and like the parachute, that was the fun stuff.
Well, you got to remember. Reedy Creek is part of Osceola County, and we actually got a day off in February to go to the rodeo.
Remember, rodeo day. We did.
So, I mean, we were all about the square dancing and the geekiness of cowboy life. We were all about that side.
Back in those days, Kissimmee was still a cow town. There were more cattle than there were people. Of course, now that's a much different story, but it wasn't uncommon to go to downtown Kissimmee back in those days, and you would see cowboys like hitch their horse at the hitching post and then go into Gould's, which was the big department store where you could get the bolo ties and the shirts with fringe and stuff.
I remember driving past the big orange groves and they stank because they were all the rotten oranges they were feeding to the cattle. And the cattle would eat this highly acidic, highly stinky orange and then do what cows do best. And holy cow, I want to say it was like late fall when that would happen. It would stink to high heaven on your drive from where we lived into downtown Kissimmee, because it just stank of rancid orange and cow poo. So Liz was a transplant. I'm a native Floridian who moved to Alabama. She was a Kentuckian and moved down to Florida when your parents divorced, right?
My parents divorced earlier, but my grandparents were snowbirds and they found that they were spending more and more time in Disney World. And so it just made sense that they were moving down, and my mom decided to move down too. So we came down from Lexington, Kentucky back in 1989, I want to say it was 89-90. And, you know, it was really nice because we moved into a new neighborhood. It was right at the gates of Disney, practically. And, like, sometimes after school, we would just go over into Disney World afterwards. If I didn't have homework or if I lied and said I didn't have homework, but I knew I could do it on the bus, we would go to Disney and go watch the fireworks and then go home. And it was just, it was a different life down there.
It was.
And it was much different.
Did your mom work for Disney? Because I know my dad worked for Disney. I know your mom was there a lot. I always thought she worked for Disney. What did she do?
No. My mom was a dental assistant, and then she became an office manager. But at the dental office she worked at, they took the Disney insurance. So she was getting a lot of people who worked there, and especially a lot of, like, the managers, the engineers, chefs, and people who knew what was going on. And they would tell her all the gossip.
And we have some Disney stories we'll get into in later episodes, especially about the Piglet costume. That's one of my favorite moments.
We're both Disney adults.
That's one of my favorite moments when you were teaching at the beauty school when you heard you told me about the Piglet costume. Oh my goodness.
Oh my. Yes.
So we'll save that for later. We definitely have to come back to that. So anyways, Liz comes in and we are both the tallest people there. And then Andrea Esposito was next door. She was not in Mrs. Phillips' class, but Andrea was also a very tall woman. And the three of us were the tallest people. And then Lori Walters moved in and it was the four of us were the tallest people in the school. By fifth grade, I was taller. I was taller than almost all my teachers, by fifth grade. I think Mr. Daniels had me by like 4 or 5, 4 inches, maybe 3 inches, but I was taller.
Oh my God, remember the Barney poster?
Yes. So
Mr. Daniels trolled us so hard. He knew that, you know, we're all fifth graders. We're trying to be all big and bad. And because of that, he goes and he puts in a Barney poster up just to mess with us.
He was fun. He was a great teacher. And I absolutely loved Mr. Daniels' class. I thought that was so much fun. Fifth grade year was great year. Now sixth grade, we separated for a little bit. You went to Neptune. I went to Beaumont. Yes.
Rochemont.
I had a bunch of kids that kept trying to pick fights with me and it wasn't as disciplined at Beaumont. Mm-hmm. So my mom was like, enough of that. We're going to go to Neptune. We should have gone to Neptune from the beginning. So we get reconnected at Neptune and then we spend Horizon, our seventh grade year, together. We had a lot of classes together, seventh grade year.
Yeah.
And then
we had drama together.
Yes. That was so much fun. Was it Miss Kilgore?
Oh my gosh. She passed away. Miss Klingelsmith.
Klingelsmith. I knew it was with a K.
Klingelsmith.
I remember she was from Wisconsin. She's the reason I'm a Packers fan is because she was a huge Packers fan. And I started following them on the NFL side around that time when I started getting involved in the NFL. What do you know? The next year after I become a Packers fan, they win the Super Bowl and they don't go again for another 20 something years, but still, that was fun. And then we went our separate ways. My parents wanted to move back to Alabama to be closer to their parents who were starting to get in ill health. And that's when I kind of got a realization that Florida gifted and Alabama gifted were completely different things because I was in all the advanced placement classes, all that stuff in seventh grade at Horizon. And I get to Pizzitz Middle School. And I am just like, really? I'm not advanced. I'm nothing. I didn't test well enough to make any of the advanced classes. So I got to be a normal student, which I actually think helped me because I was breezing through everything so much. But, we stayed in touch via AOL Instant Messenger and we would,
I fell deeper into the nerddom.
You did.
David went more of the jock route. I fell deeper into the nerddom.
Well, I was always a nerd though. Cause I still collected action figures and read comic books and was doing all that in seventh and eighth grade. I wore Superman logo t-shirt and hat to school. I wore a Batman Forever Riddler t-shirt, the Batman and Robin t-shirt. I loved all that stuff. I'm a big geek, big comic book guy. We used to talk X-Men a lot, Liz and I. We love the X-Men. Yeah.
And then when they got into the Phoenix Covenant, I was like, okay, this is disgusting. This is like X-Men Borg. I'm out. That was about the time I stopped reading.
I read through the next mutation when Beast became more of a cat and Emma Frost developed the diamond skin. But she couldn't use her telepathic powers. And Jean died for like the third time after coming back from the Phoenix Force. So, but we actually got in a little trouble with AOL Instant Messenger. We were eighth graders. We're figuring out the whole sex thing. So we're like, let's dirty chat each other. And we just dirty chatted each other. And I think I got caught because I printed it out and left it for my parents to see. And that's when I got supervised AOL time.
You never print out.
I'm an eighth grader. I'm an idiot, you know? So I think that's how I got caught. And cause I had a serious conversation. The password got changed because I used to just log on whenever I wanted. So then my parents forgot the password. So they created a completely new one for me when I was in ninth grade. So that was fun. Embarrassing. But then I get to high school and I'm not advanced in anything. I'm just normal classes breezing right through. But every time I tested and tried to go to advanced learning or advanced placement, the AP courses, I would not test for it. So I just guess I wasn't Vestavia smart for it. But I mean, there were always big things were expected of me, I'd like to say, because I was class president. I was out there being social and everything with everyone and I was pretty much everybody in the school knew who I was. And I tried to treat everyone nicely and be fair to everyone. But you had a complete opposite experience at high school.
Yeah. I was not necessarily top of the pecking order. It was the 90s. So yes, there was a pecking order. And I'm not innocent. Believe me, I have my demons and I was a complete and utter asshole to plenty of people. Plenty.
That's your defense mechanism. Male
and female.
That is your defense mechanism. Yes. If you get crossed, you go full asshole. Oh yeah, I forgot to give you the warning. We cannot say the F word on this podcast network. So you can say asshole, but don't say the F word.
I had an idea because I thought about that. I was like, oh, balls. I didn't ask what words I can and can't say because I have a potty mouth.
You do. And that's why I'm catching you because I was like, oh yeah, she will say asshole. She will say everything. So
yes, I will. What I need to do, I need to make a poster and make it really pretty. And then I'm going to put it in front of me. So I've got a reminder, but it's like a pretty reminder of what words I can't say. Worst case scenario, my brain just completely poops out and I look up and I'm like, saying it like I'm reading a vision chart, but you know, hopefully
I'll bleep you in post. I'll bleep you in post. I'll mark it if that occurs. Just make my editing much easier.
My defense mechanism is I will sting. I will go for the jugular. I will latch on, and I won't let go. That's just me. I've tempered over the years. I've learned to get a longer fuse. I've learned to stop and say, all right, what's going on with this person? Are they really mad at me? Or are they just having a crappy day and I'm the one that's here? But, you know, back in those days, your hormones are raging. You're figuring stuff out. It's a whole different ballgame.
And
it's not the same as it is now.
It was pre-Columbine, so basically you'd get in fights. No one would bring a gun to school.
Yeah.
So that was, I remember Columbine happened spring of our sophomore year, 99. You may have been a junior because you skipped. I know you skipped ahead because you skipped ahead a year, but
99, I was a junior.
But
wait, spring 99. I was a sophomore going into junior year.
Yeah, because it happened April 20th, 1999. Yeah, because I remember my mom came home and was bawling when that occurred. Because my mom's a teacher. She was the librarian slash media specialist at Reedy Creek, which she got to see me and Liz. And we were our own little clique there. And the nerds that were bigger than everybody else.
Yeah, and then Ron started hanging around us too.
He added to the vibe.
Yeah, he did.
Let's see. So we each went to high school, had totally different experiences. I went to college. Liz went to cosmetology school.
First, I did massage therapy.
Okay.
What happened with me? So I basically went on and I was in a lot of advanced placement classes in high school in Florida, but I ended up burning out because I had a complete and utter meltdown because I realized that the education system as it was set up was not meant for a brain like mine. And it was not about intelligence. It was not about apps. It was entirely about who was going to follow the directions, who was going to do what was expected, not say what you're expecting of me is stupid. And I've already shown that I can do it. I don't care to do it anymore. Give me something else. Now you're not supposed to do that.
And I ended up burning out. Always been a person that likes to challenge authority. Like, why am I supposed to do this?
Yes.
I'm very much a people pleaser who's just like, okay, I'll do it. But you're very much like, why?
Yeah.
If you can get a good reason why, you'll do it. But if they just say why, because I said so, you're like, Oh no.
Bump you. Yeah. That's exactly it. And I've always been the one that sort of challenged authority. And I'm like, why am I listening to you? Why does this doesn't make sense. And so what happened was I homeschooled from the tail end of my junior year, because it happened in my junior year. I went from being a high GPA down to a 0.5 because I literally quit caring. I did not care whatsoever. I hated school so much that I had figured out that if I pounded two bags of those Wow Alestra chips in homeroom, I would give myself the craps and get to skip my last two periods of the day, which not healthy. But it got me out of doing something I did not want to do.
Yay, Alestra.
I didn't exactly want the diarrhea, but I would take diarrhea over being in the last two classes I had.
It was a price you were willing to pay.
It was a price I was willing to pay. And I finally just realized I can't keep doing this. This is not sustainable. So I had my mom withdraw me and I homeschooled. I got basically everything done I would have done for my senior year in about a month. And then I took my GED. And with a GED, I actually had to throw it and get a question wrong because they thought I was cheating.
We're good test takers. We love taking tests.
Yeah.
Because you and I always would do really well on the standardized tests for reading and all that jazz. We'd always be the 99th percentile.
Yeah, when they had the Florida Rights, I did the Florida Rights and got a perfect score. Three times that I did it. And it was just me and a couple other people in Osceola County who did that. And I'm like, why is this so hard? They gave us a formula. We're plugging in a formula. They just want a subject, 3 points, and then a conclusion. That's all they want.
Yeah, we had a similar test in Alabama like that. We had to take sophomore year. And then they changed it up. My class, my junior year, they gave us a whole new graduation exam for us that they were starting to redevelop the standardized testing. So you had a math part, a math section, a history section, and then a writing section. And you had to pass so much or you wouldn't graduate, and then they'd keep you having to retake it. So it was the fun of standardized testing. Yeah. Once you understand the system, you can knock that thing out.
Yeah. People were figuring out the system, and that's why they're having to take time away from our classes and learning to figure out how to take the test. That's like, can you give me something else to do?
I remember I'd be so frustrated. They wouldn't let you bring a book in.
Yeah.
So you just have to sit there when you're done with your test, and they didn't want you to put your head down. So you're just sitting there just like, what am I supposed to do? I already know I got everything right.
Holes on the ceiling tile.
I know I got everything right. I don't need to redo it.
Yeah.
So anyways, so Liz goes that way, gets her GED. I go to Bama.
Yes.
We each around that time have suicide attempts. That mine due to, I found out I'm schizoaffective disorder, not schizophrenic, because I'm emotive. Schizophrenics aren't that emotive, according to my psychiatrist, because we talked about this the other day in therapy. So I have schizoaffective disorder.
And we're going there.
Huh?
We are going there.
We'll go there. We're brutally honest in this podcast. Yeah. So I went there, but that's why I got balanced out with all my meds and everything. Haven't had any issues. So that's worked out really well.
I'm situational.
It was just bullying and just everything.
100% situational. Yeah. It was bullying. A big portion of it was, I know now that I'm neurodivergent, and back in those days, I also looked like I was 21 years old, even though I was like 15, 16 years old. I was 5'10". I was a size 14. I was shaped like a full grown woman. Back in those days, I was kind of built like Ashley Graham.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't look like your Kate Moss teenager, like 1990s
chic, the heroin chic. Yeah,
I did not look like that at all. And you know, we always have that image kind of forced at you in all the teen magazines and all the fashion magazines. All you can think is, oh my god, I'm ugly, oh my god, I'm some sort of freak. And I thought I was ugly. I really did. And I felt that I was some sort of weird alien thing.
And well, you are an alien. We figured that out so far.
Yeah. Now I realize it, and I'm kind of cool with it, because I'm like, God, being normal is overrated.
Well, that comes with the experience. Wisdom, experience gives you wisdom. And we're about a month apart, birthday. You're 22nd of November.
I'm the 8th
of November. I'm the 2nd of October. And so we're always real close in age. We're both SEC football fans.
Yeah. You're not SEC. You're not crap. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I can't get into the pros.
She does not get in the NFL.
No,
but
we overpaid.
We still stayed in contact over the years, sometimes more active than others, because life got in the way, and we finally, I think about 10 years ago, like, screw it, we're best friends from Florida, we need to keep talking to each other. So we message each other on Facebook at least once a day. And
I'm awful. See, I always say that I'm kind of an outdoor cat, attachment style, because if I don't see you for a while and you just like pop right in, I will pick up with the conversation that we started 10 years ago and it's like it's nothing, and not be offended by it, because I have the object permanence issue that comes with ADHD. One of the jokes I have about it is we're time lords. Time just passes differently for us. So for us, we get like caught up in our own world and we start doing all of our things and we completely forget conversations that we were having. But then somebody messages right back and we're like, oh, hey, yeah, that's right. We were talking about this. And it's normal for us. Like my other best friend, Dorian, I don't think Dorian and I have talked on the phone. I think it's been a month since we've actually like talked to each other on the phone. But that's normal. It's one of those things where it's like, if you don't talk to each other every single day, you're not offended by it. No. Or I'm not offended by it.
Well, you also have a spicy neuro son that you're taking care of.
Yes.
AJ, who just,
I'm a full-time stay-at-home mom.
Is he coming up on 6 or 7?
He's coming up on 6 in April.
Okay.
He's a little Aries.
So
my little fire boy.
He does like fire.
Yes, he does. Unfortunately. And he's discovered Minecraft, which, whatever. But the important thing is, I have swayed him. I have marked this kid. He's into superheroes. His father, dealing with it, because his father does not like superheroes. I am so excited. We found out he's into Spider-Man. He loves Spider-Man. And we can finally get him to keep his clothes on because he's been in a naked phase.
And again, he takes after you because you were in a naked phase.
I was a nudist. My life has been one big naked phase. but I'm excited because I'm finally able to get this kid to keep his darn clothes on by just saying, hey, Spider-Man wears his underwear. Spider-Man wears a shirt. And you know what? It's working.
Spider-Man eats his broccoli.
That has not worked yet.
I know he's still really particular about what he'll eat.
Yes. He is very picky. And my husband, it is a bigger deal for him than it is for me because I was always a very picky eater. So I get it. My husband, he's picky, but not about the same things.
Well, I mean, we'll get into that. That's a future episode, raising a spicy neuro child, as you like to call him. And it's just, we're just getting to know you, just giving some background info and all this right now. But, we each, had rough relationships. Mine almost ended into marriage. Instead I had the suicide attempt and we pretty much called it kaput. You're married and divorced. Yep. With
I'm remarried now.
We both had abusive partners. And didn't realize it at the time, but looking back at it, we're like, how could I not see this?
I should have run.
Yeah.
I should have run. Yes.
So we've been there and your mom actually lived in Coleman for a while. So I got
when
to see y'all.
My stepdad, Bob, when he was terminally ill, I've got stepsisters that live around northern Alabama and right over the Tennessee border. And my parents were down in Key West at the house in Key West, but it's a really long drive. It's very isolated. To get to a good hospital, they would have to go to Miami. And with his health issues, they needed to be somewhere where they actually had support and where they had decent health care. And they had that in northern Alabama. Plus, one of my stepsisters actually is a nurse and she knows doctors. So she was able to get good care for my stepdad. But when he was in his last days, he was up there in Coleman, Alabama. And I came over from Arizona to help out with my mom because mom was there taking care of Bob, but there was no one really there to kind of take care of my mom because when mom gets like into something, she doesn't take care of herself.
Yep. And you're very much the same way when it comes to that too. You kind of neglect yourself and focus more on the other persons. You're very much a caregiver. I can't believe I forgot to mention. So going back to elementary school, Liz's grandmother made the greatest food in the world, the absolute best cook in the world. And I would always weasel my way into getting half of Liz's lunch. Eventually, your grandmother started packing stuff for me.
Yeah, she started packing extra food for you.
For me and the lunches. And I loved her grandmother. Her grandmother was a woman who had zero bleeps to give. She would just do whatever she wanted. She was absolutely lovely. I miss her to this day. Proud Hungarian woman. She had a little gypsy in her. And
yes, we are Magyar Romani.
She was so amazing, and she was so much fun. And you never knew what was coming out of her mouth, which is part of the fun.
Oh God. Yeah.
I remember Lila and I came in, was it? Oh, I think it was either 09 or 2010. It was right after the Super Bowl. Your mom and your grandmother had fixed all this food and you invited us over.
Yeah, help us clean up.
Help us clean up the food. And your grandmother was like, oh, I forgot how much you eat.
You know, towards the end, she literally had no F's left to give. And what was really funny about it is her hearing went. She started losing her hearing. But she was in denial about it. She refused to wear hearing aids. She refused to get her hearing checked. Grandpa, on the other hand, Grandpa was in a wheelchair, but Grandpa was pretty quiet and he heard everything you could say. I mean, you could whisper across the room and look up and he'd be looking at you giggling because he heard it. But Grandma, on the other hand, she would like talk crap about people while they were right there.
Because she had no volume control. Thinks she was whispering and she's yelling, that son of a bitch stole my food, you know?
It was just funny because people would be over and she'd just be like, I hate that shit ass. Look at them over there. And I'd have to look at her and be like, they can hear you. I'm not fighting anyone for you today. You need to shut. You're on your own.
I miss that woman. She was so much fun. So we've talked about what we want to do. Kind of life is burnouts. We're not burnouts like when it comes to drug, just burned out socially and educationally. We have not reached our potential. We have not reached our potential according to some. I think I have because I'm very much I think my purpose on this world is to help others. So will that mean I'm going to help people become world leaders? Probably not, but I can help people have a better day, help support them with their ideas and help support their artistry. And just support them and being a good friend and a listener, which I know. Have you seen the new Superman?
Not yet.
All right.
That is on my list, and Tron Ares.
That's coming out. It's coming out in October. Anyway, so
I can't wait.
The takeaway, you know what I'm jealous of? Side note, Disney's AMC, they're doing a Tron mega showing. They're showing Tron, Tron Legacy, and Tron Ares starting at 2 p.m. Unlimited popcorn, unlimited drinks. I think it's like $100 a seat. But you get all this cool swag to go with it too. It's like sometimes I really do miss that big AMC at Walt Disney World at Disney Springs. Now used to be Pleasure Island and Disney Village.
I used to work there. That was my first job. I miss it.
But anyways, going back to Superman, Superman, kindness is the new punk rock. And I'm kind of trying to embrace that, you know, because people are assholes nowadays. More people are assholes than there are kind. And you just have to look at social media to see that and see the absolute cesspool it's become. See the Charlie Kirk shooting to bring out the worst in both sides. See the just basically everything people are doing nowadays, purposefully antagonizing and trolling just so they could piss people off. And I'm just like, is that really what humanity's come to? Is that what we're really supposed to do? So I've kind of taken the approach like I'm going to just make people's day better. I'm going to do my best to help them have a good day. Whether that's giving some homeless people a cheeseburger and a water, or I've accidentally given rides to prostitutes going back to their corners before, not realizing because I thought they were just in need of a ride because their car broke down. And then I was propositioned. I was like, no, good God, no, good God, no. But I was just, I didn't realize they were away from their corners. And they
if it was anyone else, I would be skeptical. But because I know you, I'm just like, yeah, that trash.
Well, I just like, I just want to help. I'm a helper.
I know.
So yeah. they're like, my car broke down and I need to ride back here. It turns out to be a real sketch neighborhood. Like the no-tell motel. I'm like, sure, here you go. Yeah, let me help you out. Then I get propositioned. I'm like, nope, no, thank you. Nope, not what I was doing. I was just giving you a ride. So, but it's just, I'm just trying to be a good person to help others. And, you know, it's not easy. I've had to be more patient with others than I think some reasonable people would be. Because I truly believe everyone's hurting, and that just, if you could listen to someone express their hurt and help them, that's important, you know, cause everybody's going through something. Some things more intense than others. But,
and sometimes people don't even need solutions. Sometimes, and I learned this from my years working in the salon and the spa, sometimes people just want you to sit there with a dumb look on your face and hear them out. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Just want to listen. They just want to tell their story, get it off their chest, and vent. So
that's where my mutant ability comes in. I call it my mutant ability. Because when I worked in the spas and the salons, I was a licensed massage therapist. I did that first. And then I went back for aesthetics training and makeup artistry. And then I did cosmetologies to add hair and nails. And because in that industry, the more things you can do, the more money you have potential to make. And the more you can keep someone in your chair for different things. And I noticed people just, they talk. They would just start telling me everything. And that's when I started joking, hey, this is sort of like a mutant ability that I have. Because I learned stuff about people I really don't need to know. Lila, but I think they felt better.
Lila and my mother-in-law call it. Lila and my mother-in-law call it social worker syndrome.
Yeah.
Because people just tell you everything and you don't know what it is about you, but someone just feels like they can open up to you and tell you anything. And you're just like, didn't need to know that, but thanks for sharing, you know?
Yes.
I mean, we've heard, you've heard some really crazy stuff, and we may have to do a story of the day to wrap up the podcast because you have so many stories of crazy things you've heard and done.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm putting you on the spot right now. Let's go ahead and do it. We talked about it at the beginning. Liz's story of the day, the piglet suit.
All right. So for almost a decade, I taught cosmetology school. And one of the things that I taught was the hair braiding class, which back in those days, to work on the most magical property in the world, and work in their princess makeover boutique.
The Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique.
Are we allowed to use nomenclature or not?
Well, it's the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. Everyone knows it.
Yes. Okay. All right. I don't have to sit there and say, okay, the most magical property on earth. Anyway.
I'm sure they'll love the free advertising coming up.
So in order to work in Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique or Pirate League, because I don't know if they still do or not, but they had pirate makeovers too. You had to be a hair braider in the state of Florida. It's changed. But back in those days, you had to come see me for 2 days and we would go over sanitation procedures and we would go through infection control and we would do like the HIV/AIDS mandatory training. And then the next day we would do stuff about hair textures, hair types, and then we would get into types of braids. And I got to teach boys how to braid. And I found out when you're working with boys, if you want to teach them how to braid, you tell them to hold the hair like they're holding like a PlayStation controller. And then it suddenly makes sense to them. But anyway, so one of my people used to be friends with Piglet. And
if you don't know, if you don't know what the Disney nomenclature is, they are not Piglet. They're not Snow White. They are friends of Snow White, friends of Piglet. So this person was a Piglet in the Disney world, but outside off property, she would be known as a friend of Piglet.
She was a friend of Piglet, and she worked at the Crystal Palace. I don't know if they're still doing the...
They still do the Winnie the Pooh.
Okay.
They still do the breakfast. I think it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner now. I definitely know they do lunch and dinner, but I think they've started doing breakfast there too.
I used to do it. I guess they stopped for a little while, but
COVID changed a lot of stuff. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, I know. She was Piglet, a friend of Piglet, and she was in the costume, but she had the stomach virus that tends to go around that I like to call two bucket syndrome, because you're getting it out of both ends. And she started to get it out of the back end, but nobody could come save her in the Piglet costume. And she ended up getting diarrhea in the Piglet costume while she was making her rounds on the floor, trying to get to the exit, but she was getting blocked from all of like the little emergency exit routes. And then right in the middle of, you know, trying to get to the exit, some kid comes up to her and goes, "Hey, Piglet," and slapped her on the back. And the diarrhea went up her back, up the back of the head on Piglet. And she was finally able to get off stage. And from my understanding, there was either a deep clean that had to happen or maybe something got incinerated. But I'm pretty sure that Piglet costume was never quite the same.
The day you told me that, I was like, oh, because if you are in character as Piglet, as Mickey, as whoever, you cannot break. You can't talk. You cannot talk.
You gotta roll with it.
You gotta. Yeah. People have thrown up in the heads before, and it's, you have to roll with it. Now there's a signal you can give to try to get you out, but you have got to roll with it. So, all right. So Liz, where can we find you on social media? And do you still have your literary page going?
I do. We are currently under construction. We'll have that next week. That is my big project I'm working on. I am revamping my socials. So
we'll get all that next week.
Stuff up next week. Cool.
All right. I'm at David Sears 1982 on Instagram, at David Sears 75 on X. I think I'm David Sears 1982 on Threads, but I have not opened Threads in forever, so don't find me there. I'm on TikTok, but only so I can get the videos that Liz and my wife send me, because you apparently can't open it in Facebook anymore. So that's the only reason I don't post anything on TikTok. But we got to come up with a cool catchphrase to sign off the show with. So we'll figure that out next week.
I got one. Please tune in next week. We need to buy a new toilet and those $1,000 uncloggable ones. They're $1,000. They're expensive. So please support the podcast so we can get the uncloggable toilet.
You know, our house needs you got a Cash App or Venmo you can put out there and see if anyone sends it to you.
Let's see it. Oh my God. What is it? I want to say it's like Mrs. J. Greenwald.
Look it up real fast. I'll fill the time. I forget. All right. But yeah, so help Liz buy a new toilet. She needs it. We're both on the weight loss journey and we both poop a lot because we're on that weight loss journey. Okay. Funny story. I'll tell you something. So today my stomach's killing me. If I don't eat, my stomach decides the second I do eat, it's going to push everything out. So my stomach was not really happy. I, for some stupid reason, decide, you know what? I'm going to eat Taco Bell. I just got a taste for Taco Bell. So I'm running.
And they have the new decades menu.
I haven't tried
it. New decades menu. They have all the old stuff back.
So I got my Cantina chicken bowl, extra chicken, and I'm running the Barons game and it went right through me. And I'm like, I'm about to go badly. So I run to the bathroom. I can't make it to the men's room. The women's room's closer. I run in the handicap stall, and as I'm sitting down, I sit down with such force, I rip the handicap rail off the stall door, like ripped it right off. It claps to the floor. I'm like, oh my God, I already feel so bad, but I can't stop. And that was an adventure for me this afternoon. I destroyed a bathroom literally and figuratively. And there was the women's room because I couldn't make it to the men's room.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Had to explain that to the boss. That was a fun phone call. He took it really well. He's like, brother, I've been there. I had a fun experience like that at a gas station. So I understand. So, all right. Well, we promise not every show will devolve into poop talk, but we can't guarantee it.
I'm thinking every episode for a sign off, we just say, hey, please tune back in and support the show. Someone needs to buy X or someone.
We have to buy more toilets.
We have to buy stuff. Yeah. My Cash App is $, this is Greenwald.
All right.
That's MRSGREENWALD.
Hit her up on Cash App. One more time.
It's Mrs. Greenwald for Cash App.
There you go. For Liz Nemozzi, I'm David Tears. We'll be back next time with the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.